We are in Psalm 119, verse 161. If you want to turn in your Bibles this morning, be sure to say hello to any visitors you might see and stay for a cup of tea after and shake hands with some people that you don't know. And do pray for our Potatadu ministry. I've been going over there now for almost 6 years. Can you believe it? But the Lord has blessed, and we have a good, faithful core of folks. And we just appreciate your prayers. Also for prayer, just for God to provide a pastor in his timing to take that ministry over so we can do it again in Pies Paw. So be in prayer about that. Of course, today's message is about the Word of God. You already knew that as soon as you heard me say Psalm 119. Longest chapter in the Bible. And this longest chapter in the Bible is about the Word of God. And this is one of the sections of the song, if you will, that the Jews would sing. It's broken up into these labeled sections. But the theme of this book is all about God's Word and having a right attitude toward God's Word. I shouldn't have had you turn there so quick. Let me give you some samples before we look at this actual passage. Look at verse 47, if you would. You people on your phones, you just have to click fast. Psalm 119, verse 47, he says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Verse 48, "My hands also, which I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Verse 119, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies." 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." And then verse 159, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." So let's start at 161 and go that down through 168. "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." So our title today is "Thy Law Do I Love." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your precious word. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would come to it today in love with it. And Lord, we would leave loving your word and revealing that love by the fact that we spend time in it and that we meditate in it and that we memorize it and that we read it and that we study it. Lord, I pray that our love for your word would be strong. And Lord, it would be revealed in our changed behavior. I pray you'd work miracles in hearts through its power today. And that your will would be done in every aspect of this service. May it be glorifying to you. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. 7 things in this passage that loving God's word does for us. Of course, there had to be 7, but it just worked out that way, I promise. Verse 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." The first thing we see is if we have a love for God's word, it doesn't mean we won't have problems, but it means that we'll respond properly to our problems. David said, "I've been persecuted without a cause." But the contrast is, my heart is in awe of your precious word. David was able to handle this persecution, these attacks, because of his love for God's Word. And when our focus is on God, when our focus is on eternity, when our focus is on God's Word and the trials come, we respond properly because we understand God is in control. We can trust the Lord that He's doing the right thing and He knows why He's allowing these trials in our lives. There's another verse, verse 147, if you want to turn over there. David said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. So again, notice he's crying, he's going through trials, but he's hoping in the word of God. Verse 92 is another one, if you want to turn there. It said, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And so David understood the power of loving the word of God, especially when the trials come. You know, we get to the New Testament and we see it again. 2 Corinthians 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Why is that? How do we know that the trials work for us? Because of God's Word. Because we love it. Because we're in it. And when the trials come, we're ready. We're ready to respond with trust in our Heavenly Father. And so that's the first thing we see in this passage. The second thing we see in verse 162 is that as we love God's Word, rejoicing will come naturally. Notice he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Isn't that good? Talking about if you're in a battle, in a war, and you win the war, and there's spoil to take, leftovers, if you will, riches. He says, that's how it is for me. That when I come to your word, I find spoil. I find so much abundance that I naturally have to rejoice at thy word. He says it again in verse 111, if you want to turn there. Psalm 119, 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The rejoicing of mine heart. Even the song that we sing, Psalm 19. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And so this book, if we will love it, like David loved it, we'll be prepared to handle the trials properly and we will naturally rejoice. Now we're commanded to rejoice, amen? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But it's a lot easier to rejoice when you're in love with the Word of God. All right, number three, verse 163. A love for God's Word results in a hatred for sin. Notice David says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. The two go hand in hand because the Word of God is our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about God's holiness, God's righteousness. That comes through as we read it. And as we read it, it reveals our own sinfulness. It also then breeds in us that hatred for sin that God has that led him to send his son to die at Calvary. We will have that same hatred for sin, even in our own lives. The Bible says in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so loving God's word will help us to deal with the trials that come our way, will make us naturally rejoice, and it will work in us a hatred for sin. And it's right to have a hatred for sin, by the way. We're told to not hate others, but we're to hate sin. Verse 164 is our fourth thing we see this morning. David says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Do we praise him seven times a day? Think about it. It's a good number, by the way, seven. But why does he praise God seven times a day? Because of the Word. Because he's in love with the Word of God. And it naturally leads him to praise God. Look at it again in verse 62 of our chapter. He says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He says, I will even, if I wake up at midnight, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise the Lord for his word. And so the fourth thing we see is, and when you have a love for God's word, you will just naturally want to praise God. Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I will praise his word. Is it okay to praise the word of God? Yes. The word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God. God said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name, in Psalm 138, verse 2. And so it will not only lead to rejoicing, but it will lead to praise as well. And then verse 165 is number 5 this morning. Great peace have they which love thy law. Now, the world is always looking for peace, aren't they? Peace in their hearts, world peace, peace with each other. But true peace can only come from the Prince of Peace, God himself. God promised that that peace is available, amen, to Christians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4, verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so he promises peace to those who, what? Love the word of God. A peace in your heart that is real. Jesus told us in John 14, he says, peace I leave with you. John 14, 27. My peace I give unto you, he said. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus said, I came to give you a genuine, deep-seated peace that comes from within. That no one, he said, my peace no man taketh from you, in John 16, verse 33. This peace comes from loving the word of God. But not only that, in verse 165, this one's interesting. Number 6, nothing shall offend them. That's only 4 words, but look what it says. A love for God's word means that you won't get offended. Huh. Now, I'm sure no one in here has ever gotten offended before, but if you ever have, think about it. Maybe the love for God's word just wasn't what it should be. Don't get offended, and if you love God's word, you won't. Look at Matthew 13, 21. Jesus talked a bit about this when he was talking about the seed of God's word. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. Notice what it says. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, Christians getting offended probably causes more church problems than just about anything else. It's not caused by false doctrine. It's caused by people getting offended. Somebody said the wrong thing. Somebody looked at me funny. The pastor forgot to shake my hand. I mean, you know, just never know what it's going to be. I try to shake everybody's hand, but sometimes I miss. God says we're not to be any more children in Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We need to be so grounded in the word and in our love for God's word that we don't get offended. You know, someone does something that would normally cause offense, it's like, oh well, I love Jesus. I love God's word. I'm not going to let it offend me. And of course, last of our passage here this morning, number 7, and the most important, is if we have a love for God's word, you know what it's going to lead to? Obedience to God's word. Look what he says. I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. The love that David had for God's word led him to want to obey God's word. And it will do the same in our lives. And what we see revealed in this passage is that this book is powerful. Amen? It is so powerful we could never overestimate it. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it even is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's powerful. God said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" That's God describing his own word. Fire's powerful, and a hammer that can break rocks is powerful. And he says, "That's my book." And sure enough, we see that power coming out. David said, "I love his word so much that I want to obey it." If you don't want to obey God's word, it's not because there's a problem with the word. It's because there's a problem with our heart. We aren't in love with God's word like we should be. Because if we were, look at Psalm 37, verse 31. If we were, we would have a strong desire to obey the word of God. That we wouldn't see his commandments as grievous, as we're told in 1 John 5:3, but we would see them as a blessing. Notice Psalm 37, 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Isn't that beautiful? God says that if you have his word in your heart, that your steps won't slide. Hence the importance and power of memorization. You knew I was going to bring that up. But David here is revealing to us that he was in love with this book. And he didn't even have the New Testament. We have more than he had. And we should be even more in love with this book. And that if we are, if we have a genuine love for this book, it's going to be revealed in how we treat it. Amen? Being in love with the Word doesn't mean that we walk around holding it saying, "I love this book." You can do that all day long. That means nothing. Saying that you love it, good for you. Those are words. But if you take the time to open it and read it every day and study it and meditate in it and memorize it, now you're revealing that you do love the Word of God because you're making it a vital part of your life. And God promises in his Word that if we love it, look what it'll do for us. Help us respond to trials properly, cause us to rejoice, cause us to hate sin, to praise the Lord seven times a day. Wouldn't it be good if every Christian praised the Lord seven times a day? We'd have peace in our hearts, we won't get offended, and we'll want to obey God's precious and powerful word. Jesus laid it all out for us. "This is what I want you to do. Here are my commandments. And if you love me," he said, John 14:15, "keep my commandments." How do we show our love for Jesus? Obedience. How do we show our love for God's word? By being in it. Amen? Don't just say you love it. Wear it out for Jesus. And if you wear it out too much, buy another one. But just wear it out. Study it. Read it every day. Meditate in it every day. And memorize it. The word of his God is the word of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." That's verse 11 of our chapter. Psalm 119:11. "Thy law do I love," David said. And look what it resulted in. Look at the person that David was. One person out of the millions of people that have become followers of God, one person was a man after God's own heart. And that was David. And it was David that said, "Thy law do I love." It was David that said in verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I think about it all the time. And it impacts my life. It impacts my behavior," which the Word of God has the power to do, which is why we're told to be in it. Amen? As newborn babes desire, we're told, the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2, "that you may grow thereby." Yes, the Word has the power to grow us. So I hope that everyone can leave this room today saying, I love God's Word. And that's obvious because how I treat it. And all the time that I spend in it. Reading it, studying it, meditating in it, and memorizing it. Thy law do I love. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for David's example, for his love, for your word. Thank you that you, through him, recorded it for us in this longest chapter in the Bible. And Lord, I pray that if we haven't had this love, as revealed by our behavior, that would change. And Lord, we would get back in love with your word and be back in it every day and studying it and memorizing it and meditating in it. Lord, that we can be what you want us to be. Help us to love this book inside and out. And Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, this message was not for them. That is where it all begins. They must come to Jesus Christ who died and rose again for them and be saved today. And I pray they'd be willing. Those of us that are Christians, may we be honest about the relationship we have with this book. And if it's not what it should be, may we correct that with your help. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.